It's the same thing that Nussbaum and McIntyre have urged as being particularly helpful, say, for American culture, given our own stance toward law. We tend in America to prefer that the law not restrain us and that the law only restrain the criminals. And other than that, we'd, in general, rather not like to have too much regulation. Sometimes we find the need for regulation when there's need to make sure that certain things happen so that there is appropriate empowerment or appropriate distribution. But nonetheless, even when we regulate the more, we tend to prefer rhetorically and tend to prefer in our balance judgments to regulate less. But if there is less law, then where is the source of goodness going to come from? What McIntyre, what Nussbaum, and what many other theorists of the present day have found in Aristotle is an ethics that is primarily centered on virtue rather than law. And by this concentration on virtue, what they propose is that returns to some of these Aristotelian ideas could be profoundly helpful in our own culture. It is also something that has been deeply interesting to philosophers in the tradition of Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas, who have had a greater sense of law. In particular, the notion that is very popular in that form of modern ethics, it's called natural law theory, is the importance always of having an internal dimension as well as an external dimension. Natural law theory that is practiced by Thomas Aquinas is developed out of those insights about natural justice that are present in Book 5 of Aristotle's Ethics, a sense that justice isn't merely conventional. Justice isn't merely a matter of what we decide upon, but rather justice is a matter of giving to another what is fair or due, and that this natural justice can lead to a sense of the natural law within us, that is, a kind of law for our development, a law that is implanted within us by the maker of our being, by the creator of our nature, that is designed to make us happy if only we will cooperate with it. In the tradition of Thomas Aquinas, this leads to a distinction between the natural and the supernatural, and a sense that all of grace builds on this foundation in nature. But the Aristotelian insight on which Thomas Aquinas builds that natural law tradition is a tradition that suggests that we have a nature that is a certain set of powers, a certain set of abilities, which are designed to be used in a certain way, and if cultivated by these virtuous habits so that we regularly and with pleasure and with ease use them and use them well, we will find ourselves fulfilled in the very way that Aristotle talked about, say, back in Book 1, Chapter 7, when he identified the proper human function and identified what its fulfillment would be. In this natural law tradition, one sees an important way in which the Aristotelian legacy is built on, even with regard to its theory of pleasure that we were talking about in, say, the last two lectures. For Aristotle, with his very balanced notion of pleasure, pleasure was often an indicator of when our choices were right, but this meant disciplining ourselves so that we took pleasure in the right sort of things. Natural law theory likes to use that same insight and likes to argue that our various attractions in pleasure, they are not just after the fact confirmations, but they are even indicators of where it is that we must make these moral decisions. And so natural law theory is able to take that moderate sense of pleasure that Aristotle enabled for us and to show us how to use it as a guide for specifying the general principle of ethics. The most general principle of ethics is do the good and avoid the evil. But what is the good? Our natural pleasures, our inclination toward food, toward drink, for sexual union, our natural inclination toward sociability, our natural inclination to know, all of these natural inclinations show us what it is that the human being as a whole in his or her nature is designed to do, and they point out to us where it is that there will be happiness if we in fact find ways of developing these things in the most mature and complete and well-balanced fashion. This is an insight which natural law theory takes and uses in great detail, but which is only possible as a result of this hard work that is the real sum and substance of the Aristotelian legacy, a legacy that insists we are human beings with a nature whose happiness will consist in virtuous activity over the course of life, provided with the necessary means done to cultivate that which is most important to us, our reason.
We hope you've enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses series. Our courses are now available to order online. Visit our website at www.teach12.com, or you can call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-TEACH-12. Thank you very much.